Good afternoon. So, last time we started by covering deadlock a little more formally than we had before. So we gave this definition where we said, well, to have deadlock, we needed to have these shared resources. We need to have this property that we have this hold and wait behavior that when a thread will have a resource and, you know, have exclusive access to it that other threads might want, and it will wait while holding that to get some other resource. And with those that waiting, we needed the waiting to become circular, and then we had a deadlock. And looking at this definition gave us two sort of practical strategies for preventing a deadlock. So one is that we can just not wait, that if we, instead of holding and waiting, we like give up, or we somehow make the thread that's holding the resource not have the resource anymore, which is tricky to do safely for things like locks, but might be easier for other resources like, say, you know, memory or disk space, that will avoid the deadlock. Or another strategy is to avoid this circular waiting, where we choose a consistent order, and if we have a consistent order, well, we can't be waiting on someone who holds resource B while we have resource A, because we would have, because they would have gotten resource A first before getting resource B. So that was with deadlock. Then we looked at virtual memory, which is going to be our next major topic. And we did some review for some of you, not review for some of you, talking about like what virtual memory is. And this is the hardware mechanism that the OS is going to use to actually deal with mapping program addresses, which we'll call virtual addresses, to real addresses on the machine, which we'll call physical. And we need this in order to run a program alongside another program and make both programs think that they have the same addresses. And the scheme that virtual memory uses for this mapping is we divide the memory into fixed size pages. We're going to see mostly 4 kilobytes because that's what XV6 uses. And using these fixed size pages, we can split addresses, either virtual addresses or physical addresses, into two pieces. The page number, which is which starting at 0 of those 4 kilobyte chunks is this address in. And the page offset is where in that chunk the address is in. And we found out that if we choose our page size to be a power of 2, this splitting is just splitting up the bits of the address. We don't have to do any like division or modulus. And once we have our memory split into those chunks, we get this idea of a page table. And that's a table where we have a row for each virtual page number, which has the corresponding physical page number and these permissions. So, you know, is it valid? Is it readable, writable, accessible in user mode, etc.? And this is the information that the processor is going to use to actually implement this mapping. It's going to figure out the virtual page number, find the row in the table, get the physical page number and the permissions, and check the permissions. If they work out, use the physical page number to actually access the memory. Then we looked at how this is actually represented in a system like XV6, and we saw that, well, if we made this a simple table, we kind of like be using way too much space. So we had this two-level structure where we had a base register that the OS would set that pointed to the first level, which was an array of entries, and each of those entries would provide information about a second level, which actually had the physical page numbers that the program would be able to access. And to decide how to divide up the virtual page numbers among these second level tables, we use the most significant bits of the virtual page number and said everything that shares those most significant bits uses one of these second level tables. And by doing this, we save space overall because some of these second level tables we don't need to populate at all. It's going to turn out that there's a whole range of virtual page numbers that we're not going to allocate at all, and that range of virtual page numbers doesn't need a second level table. We can instead hit the first level table, have an entry which says there's nothing here. So we're going to continue looking at virtual memory, start talking about how it specifically works in the XV6 source code today. Before I move on to that, any questions about either deadlock or deadlock prevention, this idea of consistent order, or this sort of idea about how virtual memory works with the hardware? Okay, so I'm not seeing questions here, so let's do, so last time we did this exercise, and we're going to do another one, which is, well, let's talk about how big the page tables are. So we have this two-level structure again, and I'm asking, if we have a page table with one valid page, what's the minimum size that we can allocate towards page tables? And if we have a page table where all the pages are valid, what's the minimum size we can allocate towards the page tables? And this is, should be both the first and the second level tables that we need. So I don't, for example, provide an answer of zero pages because we need some space for the initial page. And I guess I should note, all my answers on the poll are in pages. So why is that? Well, we want to think of what's the size of a page table. That's an important question. And it coincidentally happens to be a whole number of pages. This is, well, maybe not really a coincidence. This is by design, the XV6 designers made that happen, but the size of a page table is the size of a page table entry, which I've told you here, times the number of entries, which you can derive from, you know, how many bits we need to figure out which entry to get to, how many there must be. I guess an important thing I want to point out is that a page is not the same thing as a page table entry. So page table entry is one row in a table. A page is the thing that row is the thing that row is about or could be about. About or an amount of space. Still waiting on a lot of people to answer. So one way I might figure this out is I can draw out the structure. So we have our base register, which is pointing to a first level table, and that can point to one or more second level tables, and that points to the actual data. And we're asking, you know, how big are these? And to get that size, we need to know, well, how many of these, you know, tables do I have, and also how big is each one? So I'll give another 30 seconds or so. I would like a higher response rate before I do that, but I think for time reasons, probably need to not take too, give you too long. Okay, so of those who answered, our plurality answer for the first question is 2 pages, the other answer is 1. So for the 1 page, this is sort of the diagram I used to figure it out. There's a base register which points to the first level table. And this is going to need to have one entry that's valid to point to this 4K page, but it can't point directly to it. So we're going to have it point to a second level table, and that's going to have one entry that's valid that points to this data. And these are our page tables here. And you might say, okay, we have 2 valid entries, so we have 2 page table entries. But that is unfortunately not something we can get away with because, well, if the program tries to access other virtual addresses, the processor is going to look, you know, in other entries of the page table, and we need to make sure that those tell the processor, hey, the program shouldn't do this and are marked as invalid. So we need actually to have storage in this first level for all the possible entries, even though, except for this single one, all of them will be marked as invalid. And the same is going to be true in our second level. We need to have storage for all the possible entries, even though they're all going to be marked as invalid. So the processor knows what to do when the program accesses an address outside this one valid page. And, well, how many entries do we have? Well, if we're using 10 bits to do our lookup, that means there's 2 to the 10 entries in each of these tables. So this is 2 to the 10 entries, which is 2 to the 10 times 4 which bytes of stuff, which is 4 kilobytes, which is the same as 1 page. So it happens because the designers of the 32-bit x86 paging scheme wanted it to work out this way, that each of these page tables is exactly 1 page in size. And this is just because it's going to make everything more convenient if we can have 1 page, you know, hold a whole page table and not have any, like, leftover or not need to get 2 pages. Just makes it more convenient, but it's not actually strictly necessary. And the same is true the second table. So we have these 2 tables, and each table is 1 page in size, so we have 2 pages of storage. 8 kilobytes of page tables. And that's for this first answer here. So questions on how I got that answer? So for the case where all the pages are populated, what we want to do is set all of these first level entries to point to a valid second level table. And if we want that to be them to be populated in a useful way, we'd ideally want, you know, each page to point to a different physical page, which means that we want to have a different second level table for each of the ranges in the first level. So we'd end up with one first level page table with 2 to the 10 entries that are valid. And for each of those valid entries, we'd have 2 to the 10 second level from each of those valid entries, I should say. One second level table, 2 to the 10 of them tables. And this would give us 2 to the 10 plus 1 tables, which would take up 2 to the 10 plus 1 pages, or 2 to the 10 plus 1 times the quantity times 4 bytes, or kilobytes. So. So our questions on how I came up with that answer. And this is equivalent to the 1,025 pages option on the poll. Okay. So a question is, why do all the first level entries need to be filled? So let's say our valid page is the first is 0. If the program tries to access, this address, which is invalid, the processor is going to look at a location later on in this table, and we need to make sure that that does something that makes sense. If we don't want that to be this to be a valid address, we have to have an entry so the processor knows when it does its first level of its lookup that this address is invalid. So we still need storage for some information about the invalid pages, or else, something will happen with them that, would not be intended. So another question. So isn't each second level table 2 to the 12 bytes and there are 2 to the 10 of them? Yes. So if you're asking about the second option, I'm here counting the number of tables, but I would need to multiply this by 2 to the 10 bytes to get the amount of storage, which is what this times 4k here is for. And question about what's this plus one? So this 2 to the 10 plus one is adding up these two numbers here, the one first level table and the 2 to the 10 second level table. So the plus one is the first level table. Other questions? Summary slide. Okay, so now that we kind of know a little about sort of the hardware mechanism, let's talk about some choices that XV6 has made in how it uses virtual memory. So one thing is, how does XV6 lay out the virtual memory and also the physical memory? So this is sort of a diagram from the XV6 book of what the XV6 memory layout for a program looks like. So when a program is running, we have the program loaded, and we also have the kernel loaded. So even though this is while a program is running, what XV6 has chosen to do is to put all the program stuff below this address it calls kernbase, which is equal to 2 billion. And this is where the program's data is, which I've put in green. And this memory down here is the only memory that's going to be marked as accessible in user mode. But the kernel stuff is kept in virtual addresses that are actually active and in the page tables of every single process above this kernbase address. And because the kernel often needs to access specific physical addresses, the XV6 authors have chosen to have this very simple way of mapping the kernel virtual addresses, the virtual addresses above this address, to physical addresses. So when the page tables that XV6 creates are set up, they make sure that the upper half of them has this one-to-one mapping. So the first page is mapped to, at kernbase is mapped to 0, the next page is mapped to 0 plus 4k, and so on. And this is just because it makes it more convenient to access specific physical addresses, because the XV6 kernel runs with virtual memory enabled. And typically when we have an exception, we're not going to do any changing of the page tables. That we're going to keep the same page table. So like if our user program is running using their code, which would be stored here, and an exception happens, well, we're going to start running code here without changing the page table, which is why that code needs to already be in there, which is why the kernel stuff is already part of these virtual addresses. It's just marked as something that shouldn't be accessible in user mode. Another consequence of this scheme is that typically addresses you can access from user mode, like things on the stack or in the heap of a program that's running an XV6, have two mappings in the page table. One that's available in user mode and one in this kernel mode region. And this is normal. This is permitted in page tables. You can have two page table entries with the same physical address. That's perfectly fine. And that's what ends up happening extremely frequently, both in XV6 and also in any sort of quote-unquote real OS you might look at. And this whole mapping is, this is what the page tables that XV6 sets up are going to store. So questions about this memory layout? So a comment, it seems like physical memory is shared between the user and kernel then. Yes. So there's lots of, that's the kernel's job in setting up this mapping. And it's the kernel's responsibility to not accidentally corrupt a program's memory by using the way it has in its kernel space of accessing it. So we have these two mappings, and the main reason that we have that mapping in the kernel, even for things that are not being used by the kernel, is because we want the kernel to have access to all memory, but we want to lay out the user's memory in a way which is convenient for whatever program we're running. So I've shown you sort of the overall layout. Let's look in detail at how XV6 lays out a program's memory. And there's some things here which are different than what you're probably used to on a typical OS. That XV6 made some choices to make the implementation simpler. So we have this region labeled text. This is where the code is, followed by the data. This is like globals. And then this thing labeled as a guard page. We'll talk about that in a second. And the stack. And the stack on XV6 is always one page. If you need more than a page, well, sorry, it's not going to work. And then the heap is placed after the stack. This is probably not what you're used to from Linux. This is just how XV6 has chosen to lay things out. And if you malloc memory, that's going to grow this heap. So that's how memory, allocating more memory to the program, works. So this guard page I mentioned, I was going to talk about. So this is a page that's after the stack. You might say, wait, it's at a lower address. But remember, this is the direction the stack grows. That when we push something on the stack pointer moves towards zero. So the guard page is after, in that sense, the stack, that if we keep pushing on the stack, we'll get to the guard page. And the guard page is deliberately marked as kernel mode only. And the idea of this is that this is why overflowing the stack is going to cause a crash. Now, probably, if we didn't have this guard page here, it would also cause a crash, but it would do so by changing our globals in unpredictable ways. And XV6 decided it's preferable for it to, like, actually crash rather than, you know, cause a crash, hopefully. Okay. So, next we're going to, now that we know sort of how XV6 lays out memory, we're going to look at the code that actually makes this happen. And to do that, I need to talk about sort of how XV6 keeps track of addresses. So XV6 needs to know about virtual addresses and physical addresses. And these are both numbers. So XV6 could just keep them both in ints or could keep them both in pointer types. Those just store numbers. But in order to make it easier for the authors of XV6 to keep track of when they have what type of address, they've made this convention that they use pointers when they have a virtual address and integers when they have a physical address. And by doing this, they make it less likely that they'll get confused about whether something is a physical address or a virtual address. And hopefully get some help from the compiler, where the compiler will say, wait, this thing takes a pointer where you went to pass an integer, when they make that sort of mistake. Because, you know, since we have to deal with both addresses and they're kind of confusingly similar, this is kind of a useful convention. And XV6 has these two functions which seem to convert between virtual and physical addresses. Now, I say seem to convert because all they actually do, these are actually macros, so they're like pound define in a header file. And the virtual to physical one subtracts kernbase. So it converts a kernel virtual address to a physical address. And the physical to virtual, P2V, converts a physical address to a kernel address. So these are just macros which do the subtraction or addition and a cast. And notably, they don't work on user addresses. So they're just subtracting this, so the virtual to physical is just subtracting this 8,000. So we take an address like here and subtract 8,000 to get its point, you know, over, well, here in this case. But if we take an address, you know, from the user part, it's not going to actually pay attention to this mapping here. You know, it doesn't look at that. If you want to do that, there's a way of doing that, but the P2V and V2P macros are just for converting kernel virtual addresses to physical addresses and physical addresses to addresses in that kernel area of memory. If you went to for user addresses, we're going to have to do something more complicated than that. So a question, there's just one instance of the kernel on XV6. Yes. And a reason why you might be asking this now, of course, is because you're realizing, wait, we have two multiple programs with different page tables. And XV6 has just chosen that even though we have different programs that are running with different page tables, the top part of those page tables is all going to have the same mappings. So, question, why do typical OSs not add subtract a constant like this? So, this type of constant mapping is common in sort of real OSs. So this is something that Linux often does, for example, is have this constant mapping for the kernel space. But this is not the mapping for addresses the user can access, but for the kernel where we want to conveniently access physical addresses, this is a very common scheme. Does that answer that question? Okay. So I've talked about address types. XV6 also needs to represent page table entries. And page table entries are just 4 bytes. And they're integers. But in order to make it easier to read code that manipulates page table entries, XV6 has defined 2 aliases for unsigned int when it's dealing with page table entries. It has PDET for page directory entry for a first level table entry, and PTET for a page table entry for a second level page table entry. These are both just aliases for unsigned int, but the idea is they make code that manipulates page table entries more readable because we can tell what this int actually represents. And in the hardware layout, the page table entries are these 4-byte things, and the page tables themselves, first or second level, are arrays of 1,024 of them. So, if page table entries are just integers, you might say, but they contain multiple pieces of information. So what's happened is that we're going to encode a bunch of information in the integers, and the way the x86 designers chose to do this, and it's the x86 designers' decision because the hardware is ultimately what's going to need to read these page table entries. You know, we can find out from the documentation. This is from Intel's documentation. So we can look at the format of those integers. So at the top of this figure is the format of the page table base register. So when we point to the first level page table, which Intel calls a page directory, that pointer goes in this special register called CR3 for control register 3. Why did it didn't name it page table base register? I don't know. And the top has the address. You might say, wait, this address is too small. This is the address as a physical page number. And that's going to be true of all the addresses here. And then there's some other bits to specify other information about how the processor should use the page tables that XV6 doesn't care about. Then we have the format for first level page table entries. And you can see we have 3 different options here. XV6 uses these bottom 2 of these options. So the bottom option is if it's invalid. If it's invalid, then the least significant bit is set to 0, and the processor doesn't care what you do with the rest. If it's valid, and this second from the bottom format, then the least significant bit is set to 1, and we have the address of the page table. This is the page, the physical page number of the second level in these top bits, and then we have a bunch of metadata here. So we have this RW field for readable or writable. So for is it writable, this user supervisor for can it be accessed outside of kernel mode, and a few other bits that We're not going to care about an XV6, though, you know, they're useful for other things, some of which we'll talk about later in the semester. This top format here is a feature that XV6 doesn't use, where instead of having a table of pointers to 4 kilobyte pages, we can point directly to a 4 megabyte page of data, so a larger page size. We're not going to use this feature in XV6, but this is something that is supported by the x86 processors. And finally, we have at the bottom here the format of second-level page table entry. So this is where we're going to be doing most of our work because, well, if we went to let the program access something, we're going to set these entries to point to the specific things the program can actually access. Most of the stuff here, this is just more information about where the program can access that it points to. It's like there's this more indirection. This is the final step. So this is the physical page number the program can access at the bottom here, which Intel calls physical pages, page frames. So that's what why the name is here. And a bunch of metadata, including is it writable or not? Can it be accessed from user mode? And a bunch of other bits that XV6 basically doesn't use. And again, we have the option of marking the whole page table entry as not pointing to anything valid, in which case the processor doesn't care what you do with the rest of the bits. So questions about this entry format? So the question is, why did they write address in this documentation even though the offset is missing? So probably I think the designers would say it's an address, it's just an address that's a page address instead of a byte address. Another argument is, well, this documentation is accompanied by many paragraphs of writing about what it means, and that's really what you should be looking at. Okay. So, we know this page format, and there's something peculiar about where the addresses are. So we're going to look at that next. And question is about the offsets. So the offset, when we access, is going to come from the original virtual address. Yes. So the lower bits of the actual physical address we access are going to come from the address the program is trying to access, and the upper bits are going to come from here. And something worth noting about exactly where this physical page number is placed in the entry is that it's placed such that the number of bits below it of metadata is exactly equal to the number of page offset bits. So this is exactly 12 bits, you know, equals the size of a page offset, and that means that this physical page number here that's in our page table entry is in the exact same place it would be in a physical address. And this is a deliberate design decision that's going to make it easier for us to construct and use page table entries from software. So we can think of these extra bits of metadata as what I'll call flags. And if we want to construct a page table entry, well, we can take the physical address of the beginning of the page. So this address here, the physical page number and an offset of 0, and OR it with the flags we want to set. And this is, in fact, what XV6 does when it's building page table entries. The layout means that they don't have to do funny bit shifting to actually, you know, construct this page table entry. So questions about this idea that we can, of using the physical addresses of the pages to make the entries? Question is, flag bits is a 12-bit value? Yes. And to help deal with this page table format, XV6 defines a bunch of constants. So in the header mmu.h, they define sort of the all the bits that were represented here. So they call this bit bottom bit p, this one w, this one u, and so on. And so they define a constant which has just that bit set. And the idea is that you can OR that with an address to make a page table entry with that bit set to 1. Or you can AND with the complement of that to clear that bit from an existing page table entry. And as I said, they don't use these other bits here, but they define constants for it. And they provide these two macros that do some bit manipulation. So the PT adder macro just clears out all the flag bits. So it, you know, given a page table entry, it gives you the physical page number and zeros in the offset part, which is the same as the address, the physical address that the page table entry points to. And this flags macro does the opposite of that. It clears the physical page number and gives you these bits alone. So given these constants, if we wanted to manipulate a page table entry, you know, to get a page table entry in software, so here's how we might do it. So here I have a process represented as its process control block, and I'm going to get the page table entry for an address. So I get the top-level page table pointer, which is stored in the pageDir field of the process control block. And I need to get the index of the first-level page table entry. And that's the page directory index, was the terminology we saw for this. So that's this macro here. And this gets the most significant 10 bits of address. And then I can treat the top-level page table as an array of top-level page table entries, page directory entries in the Intel terminology, and get my specific page table entry. And I can decode that. And here I'm decoding it by checking the present flag by ending with PTEP. So that's ending with 1. So if the least significant bit is set to 1, this will be 1. If it's set to 0, this will be 0. I end with W, which is the second least significant bit. If it's set to 1, this expression will evaluate to 2, which is true. Otherwise, it will evaluate to 0. So on. And finally, I print out the base address. So this is the address, the physical address that the page starts at as a byte address, which I get using that PT adder macro I showed earlier. So a question is, what does MMU stand for? And MMU.h, which is the header file where PTEP and so on were defined, that stands for Memory Management Unit, the name for the hardware component that implements paging. Other questions? Okay, so we've seen extracting a page table entry. We can also use this similar idea to set a page table entry, that if we have a pointer to the page table and we know what index we want to set in there, we can construct a page table entry by ORing together the flags we want and also the starting address that we want. Questions? This idea for setting page table entries. So the question is, base physical address needs to be shifted. So base physical address, this needs to be a byte address. So if you have a page number, you need to convert it to a byte address first by
Yeah, shifting.
Questions. What do I mean by a byte address? The address that of a specific byte. So a byte address means that, you know, address 0 is the first byte, address 1 is the second byte, versus like a page address would be address 0 is the first page, address 1 is the second page. Okay. So we've seen sort of how we might write code to manipulate page table entries and access them. But most commonly in XV6, they have a bunch of utility functions that handle common tasks with page table entries, and we're going to talk about a bunch of them. We're going to start with these functions that are for generally manipulating page tables and page table entries, and then we're going to talk about the ways that XV6 does higher level tasks, like creating a whole set of page tables to start running a program, allocating space when the user calls like malloc, and allocating space in general when the kernel like needs to have space to store something. So the first function we're going to look at here is something called walkPager. So this is a utility function that does the work of reading a first level page table entry and getting to the corresponding second level page table entry. And this we need a lot because most of the time we don't want to change the first level page table entry. We want to change the second level page table entry in order to allocate a specific address to the program, or to unallocate it, or to figure out what's there. Whatever you want to do, we typically want to do it to the second level entry because that's what points to what the program can actually access. So walkPager, it returns a pointer to a second level page table entry. It takes the address of the first level page table, so the pointer to the beginning of the first level page table, and a virtual address. That's the address the program would be accessing that would use the second level page table entry. It has this flag here, alloc. So there's, when we're accessing a page table, there's two possibilities. One possibility is we can look in the first level table for this virtual address and find that there's nothing there, in which case we're done and we say that it's invalid. Another possibility is that we'll go to the second level, we'll get an entry there, and that will be the page table entry. That could be valid or invalid. This alloc flag determines whether or not, if we find that there's nothing in the first level, do we stop there and say, there's no page table entry for this? Or do we say, well, we probably should have a second level page table entry for this, and do we allocate a new second level table so we can point to a specific entry there? So let's look at sort of operation of this method. So the first thing that it does is it uses this first level page table, and it accesses it like an array. It's an array of page table entries, and we have our index, which is the top 10 bits of the virtual address. And that determines which entry, and we get this whole page table entry, which has both a physical page number and some metadata. And we check first whether the first level page table entry here that we find is present or not. And there's two possibilities. So one possibility, if it's present, well, then we're going to look at the second level table, and we're going to extract its address. So we need to, we're going to take the physical page number part of this, convert that to an address, and we do this P to V because this is giving us a physical address, but we want to access it later on down here, so we need a virtual address. So we're going to convert it to a virtual address. This is a virtual address that's only useful in the kernel. It's in that upper half of memory. It's not something that, you know, the program could actually use itself, but we need the virtual version because we want to do this access later on in the return statement. So then we use that virtual address and we access the second level table like an array. And this time our index into the array is the second 10 bits of the program address, or the lower 10 bits of the virtual page number of the program address. And this returns a pointer to that array entry because we're going to use the result of this function to, say, change where this page table entry points to. So questions about how this function works when this second level page table exists? So the question is, what does PTE adder do? So PTE adder is going to take this value here where we have this valid, this read write, we have some metadata bits. It's going to strip out those metadata bits and just give us a physical address. Other questions? Okay, so let's talk about the other case where we need to create a new second level page table. So in this case, there's, well, two possibilities. I mentioned we have this alloc flag. So if alloc is zero, the first thing we're going to, alloc is zero, we're just going to return zero, which is null. Otherwise, it's page table is going to be set to the result of kalloc. So what is kalloc? Kalloc is a function that returns a new page. Well, not really a new page because, well, we had a certain amount of physical memory, but it returns a page that the kernel is not using for anything. No program's using it. The kernel hasn't used it yet. So it's kind of like malloc, but it only allocates one page. And it happens that page tables are one page, so this is exactly the size we want, and we get our new memory. So once we've allocated a new page for our second level table, we set up the table so it has some initial value for all the entries. And what XV6 has chosen to do here is just set all the entries to all zeros. And the reason that works is if we look at our page table entry format, having zeros in this bottom bit means they're not present, that it's invalid. So the initial setup for this page table entry will make sure that any address that the program tries to access that uses the second level table won't do anything. It will just fail just like it would have before. But since we want to make this be a second level table that the processor will actually use, we need to change the first level table to point to it. So to do this, we have to get the base address of the table as a physical address. Why a physical address? Because that's what the processor expects. We have a virtual address because we wanted to use memset, and we have to use virtual addresses in our code, but the processor is expecting a physical address, so we convert it back to a physical address. We can do this with just this simple V2P macro, which is just going to remember subtract a fixed value because we know it's an address in the kernel area of memory. And we want to set the metadata bits so this first level page table entry, you know, will actually be seem valid. And XV6 just always sets them to valid, writable, and accessible from user mode. You might say, well, what if we don't want that those virtual addresses to actually be writable or something like that. Well, that's not a problem because the second level entries will override that. So questions about how this second level, sorry, this first level entry is set to point to the second level? So we have this function to get a particular page table entry, and, well, that just gets it. We want to sometimes actually set it to, and the primary function XV6 uses to set page table entries is mappages. And mappages is built using walkPageDir, so it gets a second level page table entry. It possibly uses that code, which might create a new second level page table if we don't have one already, and it uses that pointer to a page table entry to set it to actually, you know, point to something useful. So map pages, it takes the first level page table, you know, for the program we're dealing with. It has a starting virtual address and a starting physical address and a size. And it has the metadata bits to set. So this is called permission. So this is like writable, user accessible, etc. And this runs a loop from the virtual address to the virtual address plus size and from the physical address to the physical address plus size. Now, that's not quite so straightforward because we have this round down thing. So XV6 sometimes passes an address that's in the middle of a page to this. And what this function will do is it will round that address down to the beginning of the page. And just make sure it maps all the pages in this region that includes VA to VA plus size minus 1. So it makes sure all those addresses are mapped, but if that's in the middle of a page, it's just going to map the whole page that contains it. And what this loop does is we get the starting virtual address in A. We figure out the second level page table entry for that, allocating it if necessary. And we set it to point to the physical address that was passed in, or with the permissions that were passed in, so writable or user accessible, and also marked as valid, the present bit. And then we, you know, keep going until we get to the size that was specified. So there's some other checks in here. So this check is worth noting. So a rule that XV6 has is that once they set up a process to have a page is accessible, they leave it accessible. So they don't expect to replace that with something else. And this is a check for that because the XV6 authors know, oh, we know we're never going to do this. We're never going to change an existing page that points to one thing to point to a different thing. If that happens, something went wrong. Okay, so questions about what this function does? So question, is this just a loop to allocate multiple pages? So I wouldn't say it allocates pages, but it sets pages to point to something useful. The allocation needs to happen. So this, you know, this better already, you know, be set up. This physical address has to be configured by whoever, you know, called this function to be useful. So question, what does page round down do? So page round down, given an address that's in the middle of a page, it returns an address at the beginning. So one way we can think of this is that it takes an address and zeros out the offset bits to round it down, you know, something that's in the middle of a page to the beginning of a page. So, going to do a switch here. Since I realized I didn't have the slides I meant to have, let's go. Okay, so let's do this exercise here. So now that we know about, let's just do the first part of these problems. So here, let's say I have a program with these page table entries. Hopefully this is displaying correctly. And these are the second level page table entries. So I'm not showing what's going on with the first level page table. And I'd like to know, given what we learned about WalkPageTer, what do we expect to be true about the return value of these calls? I've written the name of the argument. So the second argument to WalkPageTer is the virtual address. I set up that poll wrong. I tried to have more than too many options for Zoom, and Zoom decided it would just silently not have my last options. Great. Thank you, Zoom. That is inconvenient for me. So the second question is not actually, the intended answer is not listed. So I am sorry about that. So we'll ignore that for now. I intended there to be a none of the above and a value, a star value at PTPP equals zero option. So I'll ignore the responses to the second, but the first one does have useful options at the beginning. Oh, I wrote a different... Oh, okay. I wrote a different question in the poll. So, well, that makes it easier to answer. Let me see. That's what I get for writing this question at the last minute. So I'll edit this question to be what's in the poll. And the poll, that question does have an answer. So I'll talk about the one in the poll and the variant I had here. Okay. Okay. So I'll give another 15 seconds or so. Okay, so I would like there to be more answers, but I'll deal with this. So for the first question, this is a virtual address. So if we split this up, this has a virtual page number of 0 and a page offset of 002. But its virtual page number is 0, so this should get us a copy of this page table entry. So I'll mark it as 1. And that page table entry has a physical page number of 34, but the corresponding, the physical address is 34000, which no one selected. Okay, no one selected. Okay. So the intended answer was PT adder equals of star value. Why star value? Because it returns a pointer to the entry, so we can change it like map adder map pages does, is going to be 34000. So then for 2, I inadvertently, it seems like, gave one version in the poll and one version on the slide. I'll do the version in the poll. And then I'll talk about the version that was originally on the slide before I scratched it out here. So the version in the poll was we had 345 is our page offset because it's the lower bits, and the virtual page number is 2. So that gets us to this entry here. 2, which is going to have a physical address of 0x58000. So PTE adder, you know, this is the first byte of that physical page as a page physical address is going to be that value. So a question is, are we always assuming page offsets are 12 bits? Yes, because we're on 32-bit x86 where that's true. Obviously on other architectures with other OSs, that might not be true. And the question, how do I know the VPN of 2 is zero? So you remember the page offset is the least significant 12 bits, and this 2 is in the least significant 12 bits. All the other bits are zeros. And because we know that this is an address, and on 32-bit x86, that's 32 bits. So even though I haven't written out all the zeros in the address, there's a bunch of leading zeros. Does that answer that question? Okay. So then on the question that was written on the slide, was 23456, which is physical. So that would be VPN 0x23, which would be somewhere in here, which would presumably be invalid. So you get a pointer to an invalid page table entry. So something where star value at PTE. Present, the present flag, that valid bit is 0. Okay, so questions about how I got the answers to these first two questions will probably... So question is, why did the physical addresses end in 0 for the two questions? So the address we get from PTE Adder is always the address of the beginning of a page. So it has 0 in the page offset bits, so it's always going to end in zeros. Other questions? So question, why is the alloc flag an int and not a bool? Because C, at the time XV6 was written, did not support a Boolean type. Other questions? Okay, so let's do the last exercises. So about map pages here. What would this map pages call change? So this here is a virtual address, same format as it was for walk pagester. We have our size and our corresponding physical address, and we're setting it as user accessible and writable. And also it's going to be marked as present, the P flag as valid. Give another 40 seconds or so. Okay, so since we're running out of time, I'm not going to keep that open. So the answer is VPNs 0x1, 0x2 inclusive. So this size is 2 pages, and map pages, you know, if you pass a whole number of pages, it does exactly that many pages as far as the size. It's 2 pages because this is the number of bytes in 2 pages. And the virtual address is a byte address. So each of these page table entries is 4K of stuff, but these addresses, you know, we have one number for each byte. So this is referring to the bytes from 4K to 4K plus 8K need to be changed. So it's going to change 2 page table entries to set up 8K of space. So questions about that? Okay. So the question is, the pool has the wrong key. There is an option, the second level PTEs for VPN 1 through 2 inclusive. And that is the answer that I believe is correct. Other questions about this?
Sorry, can you repeat the logic for the last one more time?
So this virtual address is the beginning of virtual page number one. And we're doing two pages, so worth of stuff, so 8K. And so to set that up, we need to change virtual page one to port to the first 4K of that 8K, and virtual page two to point to the second 4K of that 8K.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. So I'm out of time. So next time we'll talk briefly about the other functions, which preview, they're just loops over map pages. We just call map pages basically. And then we'll talk about some other things with how we might manage memory in maybe a more featureful OS than XV6.